Konasti, how are ye? Welcome back to the Candlelit Tales podcast. We tell stories from Irish mythology and folklore and chat and reflect about them afterwards. My name is Aaron and we're very excited to announce that we're going to Canada. So with all of the flurry of getting things going and getting things prepared, we're using a podcast that has been sitting in the back pocket for a while. It's a goddess story. It's a beautiful love story. It's the story of the Plain of Two Mists. Cirque is going to tell you now. For more information of our upcoming gigs in Canada, in Toronto, Ontario, in Kitchener and Niagara, check out our website. We're very happy to be in North America and delighted to have been invited over. So come along if you're over there, or if you're from North America and you have friends, tell them where we're going to be. But if not, don't worry. Sit back, relax, enjoy the story. Like, comment, share, subscribe. If you want to go to patreon.com/candlelittales, to support us, you can, but you don't have to. You can just sit there and enjoy this story. Thank you very much for listening. And most of all, enjoy this story. Sirka, tell us the story, will you?
The Plain of Two Mists, Moy Dá Chiú. In this part of the other world, in the Plain of Two Mists, it is said, there is the mist that makes the warriors more fearsome, the mist that lets them hide until they are ready to strike. And then there is the other mist. Not a fog of war, a subtler mist. Some say it belongs to the women. And it is because of this mist that they can do what they do so well. To hide what they are thinking and what they are feeling behind a smile and downcast eyes and a mist that shields their hearts and secrets. Once, the wife of Fintan Mac Greathach had a name of her own. But when she became the wife of Fintan Mac Greathach, she no longer had a need for that name. No one else did either. She was Fintan's wife. The wife of a warrior. A high status in the Plain of Two Mists. At a place of the other world where there was no sickness and no death. But that did not mean there was no sorrow and no suffering. People have ways of making suffering out of thin air, making sorrow out of mist. And for a long time she did not know that she was unhappy. She had no reason to be unhappy. She had a fine husband, a strong warrior. She had a daughter, Deirgrainne, a beautiful, bright-eyed child. Perhaps that mist was so good at concealing her feelings that it concealed them even from herself. She noticed it. She noticed it sometimes, a little hum of disquiet. When she would tell her daughter not to laugh so loudly, to smile quietly and cast her eyes down, not to speak over the boys. Their voices must be louder than hers. They were listened to more than hers. Not to run, lest she dirty her clothing. To sit properly. To fold herself small. She was only teaching her daughter what she had been taught. And these rules had led her to happiness, the happiness of a husband who was a strong warrior, the happiness of a status, a respectable wife and a mother. And did it really matter that she didn't need her name anymore? Everyone knew who she was. She knew who she was. She was almost certain of that. From time to time, Moy Dha Kyo would host visitors from other realms of the other world. And for the most part, the wife of Fintan looked forward to this. There was something exciting about meeting new people and seeing their strange ways, seeing their clothing, seeing how they arrayed themselves, seeing how they spoke. The women of Moy Mel, in particular, were strange to her. So strange at first that she mistook it for dislike. There was something in their manner that was off-putting to her instantly. Their voices were so loud as a man's voice. And the way that the men of Moy Mel listened to those women, instead of rolling their eyes and waiting for them to be finished and asking them to please quiet down. Important things were being discussed. The men of Moy Mel had a tendency to look at the women of Moy Mel as though they had said something sensible, something worth paying attention to. And she noticed, the wife of Fintan, that when she did listen to them, their words did not seem any less sensible than the words of the men. It was strange. The women of Moy Mel must be different. There must be something different about them and the women of Moy Dha Kyo, that they did not hide themselves behind any mist. Still, she counted herself as happy. Happy? Certainly happy. Her fine warrior husband, famous for his exploits, famous for the way that he could deploy that magical mist to hide until the last moment and then strike. She knew he would not strike her. She was almost certain that he would never strike her. She had never given him cause to, and never would. And if she did, she thought that he probably wouldn't strike her. She did not like to look at that thought too closely. She wrapped it in mist inside her heart and put it aside as best she could. And so she lived with her husband, with her daughter, teaching her daughter the ways of Moy Dha Kyo, how to hide her laughter, how to hide her smile, how to hide her hurt above all. And then one day, when visitors came from Moy Mel, she saw him. Uchi, son of Sol, the king of Moy Mel. It had never occurred to her to look at her husband and ask herself if she found him handsome, if she found him interesting. Until she saw Uchi, son of Sol, she had never thought of herself as the one who would desire. It was her job to be desirable, to be mysterious and beautiful. And with smiles and downcast eyes, to entice not be enticed. But now when she looked, she saw that her husband, Fintan MacGraithoc, suffered from the comparison. He was strong. He was a warrior. He had status. But so did many men. And Uki, son of Saul, had kindness. Her husband spoke respectfully to kings and to warriors. And to everyone else, he spoke as little as possible. Orders barked out of the side of his face. Uki, son of Saul, spoke to the lowliest stable boy as if he were a prince. Spoke to the grubbiest beggar as if he were a fellow king. Extended generosity and kindness. And when he spoke to her, the wife of Fintan felt herself freeze in a kind of terror, because she did not want to hide herself from this man. And she understood that if she showed herself to him and he did not recoil, she would not be able to go back to hiding everything. If she tasted that, it would undo her. And so she kept her distance. She had her daughter to think of, her daughter's safety and well-being. She kept her distance from Uki, son of Saul, for a while. But Uki noticed. It seemed to her that he could hear her. He could see her, even shrouded in that mist that she held so close around her heart. And he seemed to call to her, to invite her to share herself with him. And those times when they were in the same room, she found her eyes seeking him out, and more often than not, their eyes would meet as he had been looking at her. Someone would say something that only she would find amusing. But when she looked up and looked at Uki, she would see him smiling as if he were amused as well. But these visits of the nobles of Moymel to Moydachio, they were few and far between. They were like little treasures that she hoarded. Every glance that Uki had given her, every little sidelong smile. And she was never sure if it was all in her imagination, or if perhaps he felt something for her in the same way she felt it for him. But by contrast to those moments, the rest of her life in between began to seem bleak, more and more colourless, washed out by the mists of Moydachio. Her daughter, in growing, needed her less. She had taken her instructions as a woman of Moydachio so well. In fact, her mother felt perhaps too well. And then she and her husband, the warrior Fintan, and the lords of Moidachio made their own visit to Moimel and stayed in the house of Ochi, son of Saul. And it was when she was there in a place where the women laughed loudly and talked over the men sometimes, and sometimes the men talked over them. It was there she realized that she could not go back. She would not go back to Moidachio. She would not be able to breathe if she folded herself behind the mist of silence and secret again. And so on the night that the visiting party were supposed to leave, she slipped away. She hid. And it was only after they were gone that she revealed herself to Ochi, son of Saul. And she asked for his protection. Being a woman of Moidachio, being a woman who knew how to hide, her husband did not notice her absence at first. She had become so silent and so self-effacing that not hearing her voice was more usual than hearing it. But of course, it did not last. Her time in Moimel, under the protection of Ochi, son of Saul, getting to know Ochi, son of Saul, and to realize that those glances had been intentional from his side. He had seen her, even through the mist and the secrets she hid herself in. He had been intrigued by her as she was by him. But he had held back out of respect for her. He had waited for her to make the first move. She knew, even as she felt it, that this love and this bliss was too strong. It was too heady. It could not be anything but doomed. But still, she could not stop herself. And when the mist rolled in on Moimel, and she knew that her husband had come to get her back, she could not bring herself to leave the side of Ochi, son of Saul. 7 times her husband attacked them, and 7 times he was repelled. And on the 8th time he returned with 50 mortal warriors brought from the land of Erin into the other world, riding by his side. And the word on their lips was rescue. Ochi was slain, and she fled. She fled with his nephew, Gull. She hid with Gull, unable to speak for tears, because he was gone, and she knew that the net was tightening, that she would go back to her husband. She would have to hide her heart again. She would have to shrink herself again. She would have to make herself small and compliant. She thought, even now, that he would not kill her. She could not be sure. She thought that his killing her would be a kindness on his part, and Fintan MacGraithock had never considered her worthy of kindness. He would want her back and restored to her place, because he was supposed to have a wife. And without her there, there was an absence. It could be filled by a statue of a woman, she thought. He did not need her. He did not see her. He had no desire to, and never had. But with his mortal army, Fintan MacGraithock, and the son of the King of Connacht, Leary, they besieged Gull's fort. And in the end, the mortal prince slew Gull in single combat, and so her second protector was gone. The young man from the mortal world looked at her with delight in his eyes, triumphant. "I have rescued you," he said. "I have saved you," he said. And he took her by the hand and he led her back out, back to be with her husband, to go back to Moy Dáilcheó, to be the wife of the warrior Fintan MacGraithock, who never had a kind word for anyone beneath him, who only looked down at his wife and expected silence. And she could not go quietly. She planted her feet on the soil of Moymel, and the voice she had stifled all her life burst forth. And she sang a lament for Uchi, son of Saul. And she sang a lament for Gull, his nephew, who'd protected and sheltered her. And she sang a lament for herself, and her voice and her love that were taken from her again. And when the song was ended, all of the mortal men looked at her with shock, confusion. They had no idea what to do with that song she had sung them. And when she looked at her husband, she saw cold fury on his face. And he brought her back to Moy Dáilcheó. And there he proclaimed that in gratitude for bringing his wife home, he would present the mortal prince Leary with the hand of his daughter Deirgrainne in marriage. And the wife of Fintan looked at her daughter, a woman of Moy Dáilcheó who understood exactly how to hide her heart. And she saw her daughter smile at the mortal prince, and she realized that she had no idea what her daughter was thinking, what her daughter was feeling, if her daughter loved or loathed this mortal man. Her daughter was hidden from her behind the mists of Moy Dáilcheó.